When I was praying for what word I should bring to you this evening, because we don't want to just do business. The Bible says itself that it's not right to neglect the word of God. And when I was praying, I was started thinking about the challenges that Jesus brought to his disciples repeatedly through all four Gospels. passage after passage. But there was one passage that's particularly caught my attention. And I'm going to read it to you now. It's from Luke 14, starting from verse 25. If you're following it, it'll come up on the screen as well. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. And turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation to the other while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's fit neither for the soil nor the manure heap. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears, let him hear." Now, you wouldn't be surprised that the thing that caught my attention in this passage was the building of a tower. So I thought, well, that's us. That's us. You know, we're building this new church center up on the high road. And we spent the whole of the last year doing exactly what the passage says, sitting down and estimating the cost of it so that we won't look completely foolish and set off on some mad harebrained scheme that we're not able to complete. But when I reread the passage, I was arrested by the fact that that's actually not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus is not talking about a church construction project. It was a bit of a surprise to me, because actually he is talking about counting the cost of being a disciple. And he lays it on thick. First of all, he says, you've got to hate your father and your mother and your brother and your sisters. Maybe that's not so difficult. You've got to hate. Well, of course, he's using shocking language, isn't he? Intentionally. And he's not speaking literally hating them. It's talking in comparison. In comparison to the love and the devotion that you have for him, your relation to your family is almost as if it's you hate them, even those people who you love. Then he talks about carrying your cross. He says, you've got to carry your cross. You've got to carry the means of your own execution and torture. Carry it around as a daily reminder that you are completely sold out to this and that you will go through anything to follow Jesus. Now, we sing a song, wonderful Phil Wickham song here, which goes, I won't sing it to you because you'll never recover. But the lyric is this. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. You would lay down your life that you would bear my cross. And when we first looked at that, we made a decision that here at St. Barnabas, we would change one word, that final line would not be that you would bear my cross, but that you would bear the cross. And we did that not because Phil Wickham's lyric is wrong, but that we felt that it gave a slightly unhelpful impression. Because, of course, there is a sense that Jesus does bear our cross. He died for us on the cross. But there is another very real sense that we each have to take up daily and bear our own cross. What is your life about? Is it about you? Principally about you? About your life, about your ambitions, about your desires? If it is, sooner or later, you will run into big problems. Because the big problem is you and me. But if your life is ultimately about Jesus, there's a quite different outcome. We take up our cross daily and follow him. And then, of course, in the passage, there's the bit about the building, the tower. I've just been on holiday in the Swiss Alps, and I heard about this project to build an 80-story hotel that's taller than the Shard in London, in the Swiss Alpine village of Vals. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. I mean, they're bonkers. I hope they've got their sums right, because otherwise they're going to look like complete idiots. The point of this tower thing is that there is a cost. If you want to do something spectacular with your life, there is a cost. If we want to do something spectacular with our church, there is a cost. Following Jesus is going to cost. It's going to cost your reputation. It's going to cost your time. It's going to cost your money. It's going to cost your desires and your dreams and your hopes for yourself. It's going to cost your comfort. Now, some of you will be feeling, you know, a little bit alarmed. Isn't this sermon a little bit demanding? Isn't Jesus becoming a little bit demanding? Well, yes, he is demanding. He is demanding. He says, you need to lose your life to gain it. You need to take up your cross. It's pretty extreme, isn't it? That's what he's demanding of us. The end of the passage, Jesus talks about salt. Salt is good, said Jesus. But what if it loses its potency? It's useless then. So he's asking us as his followers, are you losing your potency? Are you losing your vigor? You're becoming insipid, lacking in strength or determination of purpose. St. Bees, this last year, I think one of the things that has happened is that the temperature has just ratcheted up a little bit, the spiritual temperature. You know, the cost of commitment has just ratcheted up a little bit. I mean, didn't that happen through the fundraising? You know, when I was saying to you, you know, you need to give a lot of money. And I know that there were people, not wealthy people, who have already given tens of thousands of pounds. Incredible. Because we've just ratcheted up. The Lord has ratcheted up the temperature, the cost. And I think in the coming year, the temperature is going to rise up another notch.